I'm going to read Proverbs 4 and 5, and then I'll just make a few points, and we'll be done here. All my bookmarks fell out, so, okay. Just drinking that so I don't spell it. I'm very coordinated, you know that. Okay, chapter 4, if you had to summarize this, just GW, okay? Not the George Washington Bridge, that's the nickname for the George Washington Bridge, GW. But get wisdom, chapter 4, get wisdom. That's what I would say to summarize this whole chapter, but let's listen to this. My children, listen to me, listen to your father's instruction, pay attention and grow wise, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my teaching, for I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved by my mother as an only child. My father told me, take my words to heart, follow my instructions and you will live. Learn to be wise and develop good judgment. Don't forget or turn away from my words. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And whatever else you do, get good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. If you live a life guided by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble as you run. Carry out my instructions. Don't forsake them. Guard them, for they will lead you to a fulfilled life. Do not do as the wicked do or follow the path of evildoers. Avoid their haunts. Turn away and go somewhere else. For evil people cannot sleep until they have done their evil deed for the day. They cannot rest unless they have caused someone to stumble. They eat wickedness and drink violence. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like complete darkness. Those who follow it have no idea what they are stumbling over. Pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart, for they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay far from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So just a couple things that I thought of as I was reading this chapter. Learn to be wise and develop good judgment. It's a lifelong process, isn't it, as we learn to get to be wise. And we could cancel the rest of the service and let each one of you tell one story about something foolish that they did when they were kids, and we would be here past 1 o'clock, wouldn't we? We all do silly things, and learning to be wise means, okay, I guess I won't do that again. Okay, yeah, I guess I won't do that again. And so part of that is experiential, okay, and I've shared many times, I won't go into details, about trying to wade across the Genesee River near Houghton College in February when all the snow had melted. You can sort of figure out how that was about to end. You know, I should have been washed downstream and over the waterfalls in Letchworth State Park and then on to Rochester. But I didn't. God had mercy on me, and I turned around before I got any stupider. And I know that's poor English, but So learn to be wise, develop good judgment. And then it says this, do not do as the wicked do in verse 14. And verse 15 says, avoid their haunts, turn away and go somewhere else. So there are places, sort of, where evil people congregate sometimes. And, just don't be too quick to say where that is, okay? You might say, I don't go down to that place down there. They've got the drugs or something. Or I don't go to that bar or something because they... Well, hold on, okay? Those might be some places where occasionally, there's some evil people. But evil, avoid their haunts. I wonder if avoiding certain television shows, I wonder if that's hanging out with evil people. Because if you watch anything that's on television and they're evil people and evil script writers and evil demons even helping the script writers write their scripts, maybe the haunt of the evil people might be your own sofa chair or your own sofa in front of the TV. So turn away, go somewhere else. Maybe in modern lingo, change the channel if that's how you hang out with evil people. And again, people that don't have biblical values are all around us. It seems especially harmful to me to spend time with evil people on television because you have no chance of reaching them, right? You're not going to influence them in the right way. They can't even hear you or see you, but their thoughts and ideas and beliefs and the power of the script and the story can suck you in. So do not do as the wicked do or follow the path of the elders. Avoid their haunts. This made me think of the country western song. I like the song. I can't sing it all for you. I'm bad at memorizing words. But there's one song that goes, it's a catchy tune. Nah, nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. And then he says, I've got somebody at home, and if I stay, I might not leave alone. So, at first I thought, that's a pretty good song, but actually it's, don't get your advice for life from country western songs for the most part. Because he's already there, and he's already drinking, and there's already this pretty girl in front of him, and it's not his wife. So, like the last time I preached, don't put yourself on the edge of that vinegar jug. Let's not do that. So, better to not go as close as you can to that. Just say, all right, I'm going to have a huge glass of cold cranberry juice at home with my wife. Okay, so there you go. So the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. I wish, folks, you could know, I guess, the experience of all of mankind, all through time, how many dark nights people have lived through on the battlefield, maybe a storm like is underway right now. But when you see the light of day after a stormy night, that might be of battles, that might be of life challenges, that first gleam of dawn. What is that? It shines ever brighter until the light of day. That's what your life is like if you live righteously. And folks, there are people all around you in complete darkness. Verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is like complete darkness. Those who follow it have no idea what they're stumbling over. Okay? They can't see anything. And I thought back to a eighth grade trip I took backpacking on Mount Marcy. We never made it to the mountain. We got a late start. Started hiking at 9 o'clock at night in the Adirondacks, and they said bring a flashlight. Most of the kids didn't. They said I had a little one, like two little AAA batteries. I'm going like this, We're trying to walk 2.5 miles in the mud. We're tripping and falling. And I think I've said this story before, that my one friend in seventh grade who went on to serve in the Gulf in the military, he just collapsed. He was exhausted, tired of tripping and falling in the mud. he just fell down on the side of the trail and said, "Leave me, leave me, leave me." And of course we didn't leave him. But that's what it's like. And that's the number one cause of death, by the way, in the Adirondacks, is people don't have a light. They go for a hike. They can't get out by dark, and they try to hike out in the dark, and they just fall off a 10-foot precipice or some seemingly harmless climb in the daytime, injures them and kills them. So traveling without light, not a good idea. But if you live your life in brightness, then you can actually maybe make a difference in someone else's life. I want to read a story about this, living your life as in the power of the Spirit. Prior to her Christian husband being released from prison in Iran, this story is Iran, the other story was Iraq, Maheen, this is a lady, feared that she might be arrested too. So she seriously prayed. This is what she said. "Dear Lord, I am not ready to go to a solitary confinement because of my Christian faith." Her husband's already in jail. "It is such a closed and dirty environment. As you know, I was born and brought up in a wealthy family and had a comfortable life." She's saying this to God. "Please don't test me beyond my ability." She told God she would not be able to handle being arrested and mentioned her fear that she might give the names of all believers in the house churches to the police or even deny Jesus. So she's being straight with God. "God, you know, I like my comfy bed." 3 days later, the secret police knocked at her door. She said to God, "I have already asked you not to put me in this temptation, so whatever happens, it's not my fault, because I already told you that I'm not a strong person and can't stand against these security people and can't tolerate persecution." She said, "The police blindfolded me and took me to the solitary confinement. I was scared to death and felt sick, as the place was very smelly. They put her in a cell and a few hours later brought her in for interrogation." She added, "I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit very strongly, and I felt that God's peace came down on me and my fear went away." When Maheen stood before the high official, she courageously testified of her Christian faith. "It is an honor for me to talk to people about Jesus. I will be very happy to talk to you about Jesus and salvation too. Like all other people and Muslims, you also need Jesus in your life. Without Jesus, a person does not have any peace, and life is hopeless and without any purpose. Jesus laid down his life for you too, so that you can have salvation and will not perish." The official responded in anger, "Do you know what the consequence of all this will be for you? You can't evangelize me. It will cost you a heavy price." On the third night, the official came to her cell. Maheen was frightened, fearing that he came to abuse her or to beat her up. But the official told her, "Don't be afraid of me. I need your prayers. When you shared about Jesus with me, it had such a powerful impact on my life. I need to be saved. I need Jesus in my life. I believe God has sent you to come to this prison so that you can share about salvation with me. I am now completely aware of the fact that without Jesus, I will be a miserable and hopeless person, and I will perish. Please pray for me that I can be set free from this hell I live in." Maheen had the chance to share about Jesus for 3 hours with him, and at the end, he repented of his sins and committed his life to Jesus. The official testified that for the first time, he experienced the real peace and love of God in his life. Maheen and her husband were both released from prison and are in touch with this official and his wife secretly. The wife of the official has committed her life to the Lord too. So we need to pray for Christians in places like Iran and China and North Korea. I've mentioned North Korea. If you even share the gospel in North Korea, it's a 5-year prison sentence. And most people only survive 2 years in a North Korean prison. So you may say, "Oh, 5 years, that's not too bad. It's worth the risk." Well, it's really like a death sentence. So we need to pray. But pray specifically. Say, "Lord, help me to know my weaknesses." What did this lady do? She said, "God, check mark, check mark, check mark. Okay? This would be like Don saying, Lord, you know, I don't like cats. Don't let me be around cats, you know? No, she does okay. She just prefers that they not be close to her. She got scared one time. So probably if I'd had a bad experience with a snow leopard when I was a kid or something, who knows? You know. Anyways, I want to read some of Proverbs 5, and then I'll make a few more points there, and then we'll be done. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will learn to be discreet and will store up knowledge. The lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But the result is as bitter as poison, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave, for she does not care about the path to life. And just like the last chapter, she staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't even realize where it leads. Just completely clueless. And that is the world around you. So folks, before you watch a television show or listen to a non-Christian person give you advice about some aspect of your life, just go to God's word. Let him give you real wisdom. Because non-Christians, no matter how knowledgeable they are building a foundation on their homes on sand. And not the rock of Jesus Christ. They don't know where they're going. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Run from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Okay, so again, don't the door of her house, wherever that is. If it's a TV show, if it's a magazine, whatever it is that is pulling you towards this immoral woman, stay away, okay? If you do, you will lose your honor and hand over to merciless people everything you have achieved in life. Strangers will obtain your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Afterward, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body, and you will say, "How I hated discipline! If only I had not demanded my own way. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to those who gave me instruction? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife." And skipping down, it says, "Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you always be captivated by her love." Why be captivated with an immoral woman? Okay? And then the last part of this chapter, "For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his incredible folly." One of the fruits of the Spirit, the last one mentioned in Galatians 5, is self-control. We can have self-control in our lives. I know with my recent diagnosis of very high cholesterol, I have to get some self-control. And I greatly enjoyed eating most of the two pies that Erica brought over that day that I got the news. But it's going a little better than that. But I need to, again... and again, in this area of life, this whole chapter, I would break down to two candies that are pretty popular, Skittles and M&Ms, okay? Skittles, if something is skittish, they run, right? Like if you head up towards maybe a cow that you're trying to capture that's out of the pasture or something, if they're skittish, they hear something, they just take off running. Okay, so... Verse 8, run from her. Don't go near the door to her house. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee anything that stimulates youthful lust." Anything that stimulates youthful lust. Okay, and this isn't just guys and girls, just run away. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I've mentioned many times, the way of escape from temptation is like a road. That Greek word way is like a road. It's a path. It's the Bible. Keep reading the Bible, meditating on God's word. Stay walking according to God's rules, and you won't be in that, on the edge of that vinegar jug or in that place of sin. Mentally is a place of sin. Physically, there's a place of sin. Don't go to either place. Don't go there. Take every thought captive. Okay, an evil man, it says, held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. Okay? People get paralyzed by sin. They're tied in by their own desires. We have the Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to slash those ropes on people's lives. This lady who was brave enough, Mahin, was brave enough to say, God has a plan for your life. And she knew she could get raped for saying this. She could get raped and then murdered. But she said what she needed to say through the power of the Holy Spirit. And just wanted to mention this. Where okay, Psalm 119, I want to have as my closing scripture here. So I'm going to go back to Psalm 119. Some people are hopeful. Before 11:30? No, it couldn't happen. Okay. It probably won't. Don't get your hopes up. But anyways. Psalm 119, I just want to read some verses here. I weep with grief. I lie in the dust, completely discouraged. I'm jumping around a little bit. I am furious with the wicked. These are some things. I pondered the direction of my life. So here's a person that's just pondering whatever. And I think these are thoughts that Desmond Doss could have been thinking when he signed up during World War II to go serve in the Army. He was a medic, and he was a Christian. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, carried his Bible with him every place he went. Generally a very good guy. This is the character from the movie Hacksaw Ridge. It's a Mel Gibson movie that recently came out. I hope you'll see that. I know there's a lot of violent military type scenes in this, but the story of courage and self-sacrifice that's demonstrated in this is remarkable. So I just want to imagine, here's the guy from Lynchburg, Virginia, a devout Christian who will not fire a gun at the enemy. And he, just to get the privilege to go into battle with his troops, endured great persecution. Sometimes when he was praying, people would throw their boots at him. He would pray right in the barracks, read his Bible and pray. And they thought, oh, you're just using this as a cop-out. They tried to Section 8 him out of the service. And he said, it's my religion. I just don't want to. He says, I'm not a conscientious objector even. He says, I'm a conscientious cooperator. He wanted to go in and rescue people as a medic, but he did not want to fire a gun. Well, after all the initial persecution of standing up for his faith, and holding true to his faith, he is allowed to go, and he more than proves himself on many occasions, but in one particular place, the battle for Okinawa, an island which is south of Japan, the Allied powers wanted to grab Okinawa so they could use it for then airstrikes on Japan. But a bloody battle. There's this huge ridge there, and it's essentially a cliff, and there were tunnels in and out of this. The Japanese had the whole thing booby-trapped and just waiting for someone to try to capture it. And they were, you know, if you've studied World War II, just people that fought to the death. And one of the benefits of this movie being made after such a long time is we have the perspective of a Japanese sniper who actually had Desmond Doss, this medic, several times had him right in his sights, and he'd pull the trigger to shoot and kill him, and his gun jammed time after time after time. And in this one battle, they had to go up this cliff, and they put cargo netting on the side, and they'd climb up to the top and then engage the Japanese. And against all odds, even when you start going like this, right? But then they get up there and they're fighting, and then they retreated back down the cliff. Most of them went back down the cliff. Desmond Doss was up on top, and he saw so many guys that were wounded, he wouldn't leave. And he was just praying to God. He said this. He said, I just kept saying, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get just one more. All through the night, he worked. I think this was May of 1945. And you can read the details of this gentleman's amazing battle feat. He had a special knot that he had learned as a kid. He didn't even know what for. And then all of a sudden, he realized by tying a rope like this that was actually a little too short to lower people down, he rigged up this way of making a harness for soldiers and lowering them down this cliff. So he had to do this in danger of getting shot, but he's finding wounded guys, dragging them to the edge of the cliff, roping them and lowering them down over the cliff. And then people down at the bottom would see this guy appear and they'd take him, and then another guy, another guy. His commanding officer said he rescued 100 men during the night. Desmond Doss said he rescued 50. So the official accounts are saying now, well, let's compromise and call it 75. But at least 50 people rescued. He would lower them over this cliff at night. At one point, there was a grenade that was tossed nearby a group of his men, and he took his foot and kicked it into the dirt, and it exploded, and 17 pieces of shrapnel hit him. And now the men started carrying him off on a stretcher. And as he was being carried out on a stretcher, he looked and he saw another wounded guy, and he rolled off the stretcher and treated this guy. And then, while serving other people still, he was finally shot in the left elbow, and it just shattered his arm. He was 90% disabled after the war. He crawled 300 yards on his own to finally get to a medical camp and be treated. But I like what he did early on in his life. As a young man, he gave his heart to Christ. And when the time came for him to be in great danger and great peril in boot camp, was the first place of that great danger and great peril, because the world challenged him and said, are you really, really going to live by your principles? And he said, yeah, I'm going to live by my principles. And he wouldn't let go of that. And then when he was in grave physical danger, not just spiritual danger of people encouraging him to give up his beliefs. Okay, we have young people going to college all the time in our church. Jordan will be headed that way. Athena, probably that way in the next year or so. People will pressure you and say, hey, don't be an old fogey. Okay, you're seriously living like people lived thousands of years ago. Join the 21st century. Live a little. Do whatever you want. Okay, and you'll get all kinds of messages like that. You just cling to the Bible. You've got a rock-solid foundation for your life, kids. So just cling to the Bible. And those of us that have made mistakes and wandered away, guess what? We'll tell you, man, that was dumb. Okay, that was like trying to wade the Genesee River. Stupid, okay? But I like that he just persevered, didn't think about his own life up there on that cliff. Even after he was hurt and damaged, he said, I can still do more. Samson was hurt and damaged, right, after Delilah, but he said, God, give me strength for one more time, okay, to do this. And God honored that request. So don't give up. Here's the three closing points. Get wisdom, get Jesus, and start taking people to Jesus. The movie ends, for me, I could not, knowing the story from Mark chapter 2 of the friends lowering Jesus on the mat, I could not watch this scene of the movie. I won't wreck it, but they lower him down. This is not necessarily true to life or whatever, but they're lowering him down on this hammock or cot off of the cliff, and all I could think of is they're trying to say that now his friends are rescuing him. It's also true, and then I'll close here, it's also true that he lost his Bible. He had a little Bible his wife had given him, and there's a little romance in the story that's based on a true romance that took place. And again, I'm trying not to wreck the movie for those of you who haven't seen it. And his wife gives him this little Bible that he's always reading, and it's lost in this one battle scene. His friends risked their lives and went back and found the Bible and got it for him. So I thought that was cool. It reminded me of the story of David wanting a drink of water, and his men fought their way out. So let me just read a few verses here from Psalm 119 to close. Turn my eyes from worthless things. And I think if you look at Florida, it's just a symbol, but like everything that's going to wash away, as long as humans are saved, right? That's what we care about. Boy, sometimes we will get our eyes on a truck, on a boat, a wheeler, a snow sled, not just saying things that have hit me hard, a donut, okay? We will turn our eyes to something sometimes, and we will look at it so hard and say, oh, okay, and guess what? We need to turn our eyes from worthless things, things that are going to burn up when this world ends. Give me life through your word. This is verse 37 of Psalm 119, and then verse 38, reassure me of your promise, which is for those who honor you. Help me abandon my shameful ways. Your laws are all I want in life. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. Churches are famous for having, you know, recommitment services where you say, come on up here and give your life again to Jesus. I'm not going to do that today, but I want you to do that. I want you to pray like this psalmist is saying, help me abandon my shameful ways. Folks, we all fail in so many ways. We start looking at worthless things and our priorities get all messed up. Say to God, like Maheen, say, God, I can't be a witness for you. You know that. God, just be straight with God. This reminds me of that passage where they come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's a man that Jesus is going to heal, his boy, and he says, Lord, if you can help. And Jesus says, if? Don't you believe? And he says, I believe, because he knows the right answer. And then he says, help my unbelief. Okay? We have to do that. That's what the psalmist is doing. He's saying, Lord, he says, help me abandon my shameful ways. He's not sure if he can on his own. And guess what? We can't on our own. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. So, pray that prayer. It's in Psalm 119. Renew my life with your goodness. So let me just close in prayer here. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to get wise. Help us to get you, get a relationship with you, live with you every day closely in a personal relationship. And Lord, help us to start just like they, just like Desmond Doss rescued so many people, lowering them off that cliff, just like those friends that lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus. Help us to go through the process of doing the work, clearing our schedule, saying, God, I need a day. I need 24 hours to rescue, to do rescue work. Not necessarily Florida type work, but rescue work in the sense of taking people to Jesus. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do the work on our knees and do the work of prayer even when we're working and living. Help us just to live in a state of just awareness of your presence 24/7 and just commune with you all day. We ask this, Lord, for your honor and glory, knowing that it's not about us. It's not about us at all. It's about your honor and glory. We ask that you would be glorified through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.